Women in leadership positions are leaving corporate America at record rates. And according to a 2022 Women in the Workplace study, the gap, also known as the Great Breakup, refers to the trend where women are deciding to leave their positions in order to get their personal and professional needs met. Stay tuned, friend, for an exciting double episode. In part one, we dive into the fascinating story of a former TV producer who made a life-changing decision to leave her successful career and venture into the world of entrepreneurship. Join us as we uncover the reasons behind the bold move and the unique path she embarked upon. Then in part two, our guest shares the invaluable lessons she learned throughout her journey, from discovering surprising aspects about herself to delving into family business she had little knowledge of, to the numerous insights she acquired along the way. Plus, she's spilling the beans and sharing the essential tips, tools, and invaluable resources that she wishes she had known when she got started. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Sticky Brand Lab, where we bridge the gap between knowledge and action by providing you with helpful info, tips, and tools from entrepreneurs and other experts so you can quickly and easily jumpstart your side business. We're your hosts. I'm Nola Boyer, and this is my co-host, Lori Vita. Hey, Lori.
Hey, Nola. One thing I found fascinating about the Women in the Workplace study was the reason women were leaving their current companies.
Okay, so usually it's either they want to spend time with their kids, or they have to take care of aging parents, or they're just totally burned out. So which one of those is it?
Well, those are all really good points. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who leave their corporate positions for just those reasons. It turns out that in this study, women aren't leaving the workforce. Quite the contrary. According to the report, an increasing number of women were really reevaluating their values and their priorities, which led them to make major decisions, including changing industries and becoming entrepreneurs.
Whoa. Well, our guest today knows a lot about that road less traveled, and she's here today to share her story. Meet Sherry Cedar, a seasoned professional with decades of experience. Sherry has held senior leadership positions in television production, communications, broadcast journalism, and she was the senior executive and executive producer for award-winning hits aired on notable networks like Bravo, MTV, ABC, The History Channel, and National Geographic, just to name a few. Today, Sherry is the vice president and co-owner of AK Building Services, one of the largest privately owned and family operated commercial cleaning companies in Florida. As a highly respected executive, Sherry uses the transferable skills, mindset, creativity, and experiences she gained in her prior career to lead sales, strategy, marketing, communications, and customer service. Welcome, Sherry.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you.
We are so excited for you to share your story. But before you get into the details of your entrepreneurial leap of faith, paint a picture for us. Tell us and our listeners what life was like before your big move, not only for you, but for your family, your work environment. What was going on there?
Well, I was a crazy reality TV producer to an extent. And when I say crazy, it means the hours you just live for your story. And I often had multiple shows going on at once. And I was the quintessential New Yorker. My identity was a TV producer.
Yes.
And a journalist. And I loved it. Like, I would eat, sleep, and breathe. And in fact, the only reason I am married is because my bosses put me on mandatory vacation because I was working too hard. And I booked a trip to Club Med, just like the lady on the raft, to relax. Had I not done that, I wouldn't even be married.
Wow.
Maybe we should be doing an episode about how to meet a man. You should come back.
And then we could, sorry, I digressed there a bit.
That was great.
We'll turn it into a reality podcast.
There you go.
Exactly. But I had just such an amazing career in working. At one point, I was at CBS 48 Hours. I produced television for National Geographic Channel and had the extraordinary opportunity to travel to Africa. I worked on medical shows, lifestyle shows, reality shows. Real Housewives of Atlanta season one was my show.
Wow.
I mean, I just had really amazing, fulfilling experiences. Then I had kids.
How many kids do you have?
I have 2 boys.
Wow.
And 3 if you count my husband. And then
yep.
5 if you count my dogs.
Oh my
That's
God.
Probably more accurate than anything. Well, it sounds like life must have been so exciting for you. I mean, that sounds really amazing. So then you decide to do this total professional pivot. What made you make such a shift at that time in your career?
It wasn't like, okay, bam, let's flip the switch. It's a little more than that.
Okay.
I guess if I had to distill it to a, there's a few moments. One of them would be, we were actually on a shoot for E! For a series called Gastineau Girls. And this was being shot in Aspen. And we were on the top of the mountain. And my husband said to me, I just think I want to do my own thing. I don't want to work for people anymore. And I was like, okay, do it. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah. And then we like deep dove into some powder, right?
So cool.
That's literally how it happened. But from that, he quit his job and purchased a small company in Florida. And I'll try to simplify this. We had 2 boys in Manhattan. Mark was commuting back and forth. It was very clear to us this was like a crazy way to live. So we moved our family to Florida. I tried being at home for like a week. It's like, no, can't do this. Wow. And I went back into television. And really, that's because I knew what to do. It was the recession. To me, there was never even a thought that I would do anything but TV. And I followed that path while Mark was growing the business.
Was your husband also in broadcast or TV production?
No.
Okay.
Mark was a CPA by trade.
Okay.
A finance guy, merger and acquisition background, total spreadsheet geek.
Okay.
So I'm envisioning this extrovert and introvert coming together, but maybe not.
Yes. But I have to add, he grew up in the commercial cleaning business. So his father had a commercial cleaning business his whole life, and he'd never wanted to work with his dad. He wanted to pave his own way in the world. So that's what he did. But to get back to the pivot, I think over time, and you said, why do women leave their jobs?
Yep.
I hit a moment, a real moment of exhaustion and burnout. And I just really felt like I was ready for the next chapter. I really wanted to be with my children more. And at that exact moment, it was clear I needed a change. But what the change was, it was like a fog.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure.
So up to that point, you had never even imagined entrepreneurship? Was this something you'd ever thought of before?
Well, okay, I've always been entrepreneurial. Like when I was in 6th grade, we started a carnival in my house. This would never be allowed today. I would take a mattress, you know, those cots, mm-hmm. the old fashioned yes. cot, and we'd like mm-hmm. throw kids down the stairs and be like, we have a roller coaster and we charge money.
Whoa.
You definitely had an entrepreneurial mindset for sure.
When I went to Steamboat Springs after college to be a ski bum, I ended up becoming the weather girl, not because there was a job listing, but because I thought it was cool and they didn't have one. So I said, hey, I should do this. And they were like, oh, great idea. When I became vice president of programming at True Entertainment, that position didn't exist. I created that position.
Wow.
So I think my career was boxed in some respects, but I've always had that entrepreneurial get it done spirit.
Yeah, you can be an entrepreneur in a career, crafting what you want to do. Now, you say that you were just burned out. You were enjoying this and it was a really fascinating career, and then you were burned out. But was there an aha moment? Was there any specific epiphany when you said, yeah, I've reached my limit. I'm really going to look elsewhere?
There's a few aha moments that stand out for me. One of them was when my son came up to me. He said, Lily, I mean, mommy. And that Lily was my nanny.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. You feel that, right? And I was
yes.
like, oh, God.
Was there a moment that you said, now is my time?
I saw Mark growing AK Building Services and me running my tail ragged. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, life change happening. But then becomes the journey. Well, what does that look like? Mark always said, I'd love to have you by my side running AK Building Services, but you have to want to, because as a husband and wife, you can't work together if your heart's not in it. I see how passionate you are about everything. So if you're not passionate, don't do it. And I have to give him kudos for giving me that license.
Yeah, for sure. Did you go full-time right away or were you doing this as a side business?
Well, at one point I was like, I'm starting a PR firm. Then I thought maybe I'll sell jewelry. Then I was president of a charity for 2 years and I was doing it on the side.
Wow.
I was like, oh, I'll help you with the website. No, that branding's terrible. I'll help you. And then I don't know if it was much an aha moment, but it sort of became clear to me, this is what I want to do. And I said to him, I want an office. And he said, I'm not getting you an office. I'm not going to waste that space and have you never show up. And I said, you give me an office. I will be there. He did. That was it.
Wow.
Wow. So during that time, Sherry, when you were doing all of these things and moving in this direction, how did you juggle the transition?
First, I had to establish my identity as a person, because when you have a career that you're so solid in for so long, like I didn't know who I was if I wasn't producing television. I think that was really hard for me to figure out.
Well, that brings me to wonder, it would sound natural, like you were thinking even for yourself, I'll start an agency. So it's a big shift to go from what you were doing, which does sound so exciting. And I think even though your family-run business is highly successful, it doesn't align with your experience and what you were doing in a previous career.
Oh, no, it's not cool at all. It's not sexy. It's not like good cocktail conversation at all. At least before COVID, it wasn't. You know, oh, you have disinfectant wipes. All of a sudden, I was cool, but that's it. Okay, the moment that I realized that I could be creative in business and I could grow as a person was when it was like, oh, yeah, there is creativity in business. And it doesn't matter what you do, but if it's yours, you own it. It's a really incredible feeling. And then you have to sit with that and you have to own it and you have to let that grow.
That's exciting.
I love that.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody express that before, but you're right. It's a creative endeavor, regardless of what you're launching. And to recognize that and own it and know that you're going to grow from it, that is an epiphany.
Well, I mean, you feel like to us, like you might be our third sister, because Nola and I get very excited on strategy. We think that is the bomb of creativity when our brains are going off with ideas and we're setting agendas and we're working through it and time just flies. So we really, really relate to you being able to say that. You already had that creativity in one industry and you could be excited about it in another industry. So to me, it makes perfect sense.
Your background, it includes senior leadership roles in TV production. You are an executive producer many a time. You have a background in communications, broadcast journalism, major networks. I mean, the whole shebang. Looking back now that you're vice president of this company in a totally different industry, what skills from that prior career helped you the most when you first began your entrepreneurship journey?
Pre-production, production, post-production.
Tell us more. Explain.
For me, this is novel. Yeah, I was going to say, can you elaborate, please?
Okay. So honestly, this skill set, really everyone should be a TV producer at some point because it translates so many skills, honestly. Okay. Pre-production, that's before you prep a show, right? Who are the characters? What's the timeline? What's the storyline? What's the location? Every facet, as you know, in a podcast, right? You're planning. So in business, you need pre-production. In commercial cleaning company, that translates to meeting with the client for the first time, doing a walkthrough, understanding what the staffing is going to be like, what are the hours, what products do you need, how do you prepare to do the best job possible and deliver the best service.
Wow.
Production, that's when it's happening, you're in it.
Yep.
You're cleaning, you're doing your job, you're disinfecting. And then I would say post-production, in the case of business, is maintaining that business, following up with the customer and making sure that you're following through on everything that you promised.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that is a perfect way to say it, because as you're saying it in the experience and language of your previous career, I'm thinking about my own previous career and how I could have used and have used similar identifiers to map that out. And I wonder if in general, if people look at the transferable skills when they're considering making that leap, if they apply it into, here's something new, here's entrepreneurship, how does that apply using your three-step process into what they already know and love about what they're currently doing, but now can apply that in a new industry? I wonder if that would work.
I don't know that it was transparent at first.
Okay.
I think when you have a skill set, you inherently have it, right? You've been trained, you know what to do, but how is it applicable in a new environment? I gave this analogy once. You get up to the high diving board, but you don't think you know how to swim. So you just jump in and you're like, I am going to drown. You're like, oh no, I can do a doggy paddle.
Yep.
Oh, okay. And then you're like, okay, wait, I do know the breaststroke. And then suddenly you're swimming a beautiful lap and you didn't know it, but it was there all along. That's applying skills that are innate in you, and then you just try it on differently.
That is a super helpful tip. And a matter of fact, I was going to ask you, how did you organize yourself and even your mindset or prioritize what to start with? Because for a lot of people, that first step is really the hardest step. So how do you get going on that first step?
I have a personal board. I call my personal board.
Okay.
And they are my dear friends and colleagues, all successful in their own right. So every step of the way, I bounce things off my personal board. I once had a board meeting, literally. At one point, I was like, Mark, I want to buy this indoor children's gym, but I'm going to transform it to a kid's TV studio. And he was like, if that's what you really want, we'll do it. Are you sure? I was like, yes. And then we went down the path and I brought my board together and they all looked at me like, what are you doing? Like, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. No, I love them. They need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat with that and I realized I was doing a knee-jerk reaction, falling into an old habit that I was comfortable with, right? Uh-huh. I was comfortable with production and they stopped me. I think everybody, as they're going down your path, you have to sit with an idea. Don't run out and do something spontaneous and crazy because you invest time, money, brain power, and burn relationships. You need to really go slow and steady wins the race. And I know that's cliche, but it's absolutely true.
And easier said than done.
Totally.
God, yes.
I heard at least three, possibly four and more tips in here. The first tip that I heard you say is almost like a leap of faith. Take the jump. You have skills within you. You may panic, but those intuitively will show up as you move forward, as you go forward. So take the leap, trust yourself, it'll rise up. The second piece of information that I've never heard before that I thought was really important is bring a supportive group. You called them your board. I think that's amazing. That's a great name for it. But bring those people that are going to give you honest feedback, not the ones who want to support you by saying, yeah, that's great, go for it, the cheerleader. But the one who is more like your financial advisor, that's too risky. That's not going to work here. So when you have honest feedback, you can do honest introspection. And you can't do that if you don't have those people.
Yes. I know. There was a lot to unpack.
There was.
Yes. And the first one is you have to take the leap of faith and trust yourself. And it's okay to fail.
Bingo.
Good. Yeah.
There's a lot of failures in the path for entrepreneurship. So again, another tip, sorry, but you must have really thick skin. You must be resilient to fall down, get up, not care, and just keep moving. That's very important. When we first started this in the very beginning, sorry if I digress, Mark was invited to guest speak for a professional organization. This was very at the beginning. I wasn't in the business yet, but well, you're journalism. You can do this. So I got up in front of a group of industry experts and like, I bombed it. Like, it was awful. And I knew it. I was mortified. It was so painful, but I just kept going. That's all you could do. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Just go put the foot on the gas and go.
I love the fact that you looked failure in the face and kept going, because Nolan and I had done a previous podcast on failure. And what we found was women far more than men have a really hard time with that concept. And it's one of the reasons they don't do the leap of faith. They don't take that risk, or they try to make sure they have all the criteria before applying for the next level job up, where men are like, screw it. What's the worst that can happen? They'll say no.
Let's just do this.
I don't get the job. Yeah, exactly. So that embracing failure and learning from it and moving forward, and that's part of the game, that's where I think the thick skin develops over time. Some people are maybe born with it, but others will acquire it. I don't know, like a coat, you know, changing of the season kind of thing. So do you have any suggestions or any advice that you would give to anybody, but women in particular, who might be thinking about or are already on the path to becoming a first-time entrepreneur?
Talk to as many people as you can. Other entrepreneurs, seek them out. Go on to LinkedIn and message somebody who you really respect and say, can I have a virtual coffee with you? I'd love to pick your brain. Anytime you can get someone's ear to learn from them, be a sponge. That would be number one.
That is really good.
That's good advice.
Did you want to add any more?
Well, I wanted to say read as much as you can. I think a lot of these business books are actually very helpful. Oh, mindset. There's a book I read about mindset. This was a game changer.
Well, if you remember that afterwards, just let us know. And listener, we'll put the link for that in our show notes. So don't even worry if it comes in a little bit later here.
Yeah. And I guess the third would be time management and really learn how to balance yourself so you could put creative energy into your business and your idea. But don't burn yourself out because it's a long path, right? So make sure you do the self-care. Go to the gym. Take care of yourself. Have time for laughs and friendship and fun.
Speaking of self-care, I know how easy it is to put others' needs before your own, even when you have a lot going on, and especially when you have a lot of family members. So what are some of the ways that you practice self-care?
I get up at 5:15 most mornings, and I either go for a run or I'll go to yoga or some form of exercise. I try to do that several times a week. I have some standing wine dates with girlfriends.
Nice.
Are you a red wine or white wine or sangria woman?
Is it before 5 or after?
Enough said.
Red after.
Okay.
But I also need alone time and downtime of just nothing. That's very important. And part of that is learning to say no to things. So I have enough mental space to properly manage my circus of a household and life, really.
That's important, learning how to say no.
It's so important. And so is alone time. I am one of those people that definitely needs alone time because my creative canvas starts in my head. So I can really relate to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the morning routine is very important to me. And I do spelling bee every single morning. The first thing I do, I get up, I have my coffee, and I do that New York Times spelling bee.
Oh, really?
That's how I start every day.
Oh, interesting.
And brilliant, actually, because it gets your brain already moving.
Yes.
Thank you, Sherry, for being our guest. We're sure your personal experience, along with your real-world tips and suggestions, will inspire and motivate ambitious women to shake things up in the second half of their life, whether it's in their career, leadership roles, entrepreneurship, or family. But before you go, how can listeners get in touch with you? Where should they go if they want to learn more about you, your business, and the work you're doing in the community?
Listeners, please find me on LinkedIn. You can find my profile, Sherry Cedar. You can always go to my website, akbuildingservices.com. If you want a clean and healthy workspace, by all means, have a conversation with me and I'll teach you how to do that.
That's great.
Very cool.
Well, we'll be sure to put all the links in our show notes as well as on our website. And listener, we hope the ideas and thoughts shared here today have sparked your interest and curiosity to make a mid-career change or to become a first-time entrepreneur in the second half of your vibrant life. And be sure to stick around to the very end for a lot of fun.
If you found the information we've shared helpful and want more tools, tips, and inspiration delivered to your inbox, sign up for news you can use over on our website, stickybrandlab.com, or click the links in our show notes. And remember, small steps, big effects.
Yeah, we're excited for you to share.
Oh, no. Your turn. Usually that happens to me.
Oh my God, it's usually Nola that does this. Okay.